My guest today is retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He's the Executive Vice President at the Family Research Council. During his military career, he spent a lot of time commanding Special Forces, and at one point, all Green Berets served under his leadership. Today, many Green Berets are rather frustrated by politicians tying their hands and seeing their comrades punished for doing their jobs. This was elaborated upon in a piece in Sunday's Washington Times by Rowan Scarborough. And he listed several different examples in here of people being punished, including one soldier for punching an Afghan police officer who was accused of raping a boy. The quote from the office of California Congressman Duncan Hunter here is, "What we hear consistently is what many of these soldiers can't say publicly, and that is Army leadership has created an environment that has soldiers second-guessing themselves and hesitating constantly. And one misstep, whether intended or not, is a career killer. All of it has had an impact on morale and retention, and it should sound alarm bells for the Army." Sir, I'm sure you're still in contact with plenty of folks in that arena of the military. From what you're hearing, is this pretty consistent with what we're seeing in this report from the Washington Times?
It is, and you're only seeing the tip of the iceberg with what Rowan Scarborough actually wrote about there, and it was a good article, and I think laid it out pretty well, but there's more. I mean, there's more that hasn't been reported in terms of the kinds of things that our special forces are putting up with now, to include rules of engagement, for example, that make it virtually impossible for them to succeed, and in many cases, even to protect themselves and their, you know, the people that they're responsible for. And I am so disappointed in the Army leadership, and the leadership in general in our military right now, because they have allowed the social experimentation that has had such a devastating impact on our military. They've allowed and they've supported, and even, you know, the service chiefs have supported these major budget cuts as well as sequestration, and they now have essentially an all-out assault on religious liberty within the military, and where people, including chaplains, are being punished for exercising their First Amendment rights of freedom of religion. So I am really disappointed, and I'm very, very concerned about the future of our military, but more importantly, of the future of this country.
Sir, what changed, obviously, from the time you were there to what happened now in terms of how military leaders are responding? Politicians obviously come and go with different priorities, and this president obviously has very different priorities than the previous administration. But how does it get to the point where military leaders are willing to choose bureaucracy over, in some cases, protecting their own men?
Yeah. I think part of what has occurred is, because the president came up with an agenda to change our military, and keep in mind, you can't change society unless you change the military, because the military is such an anchor of our society in terms of values. The president came in with that agenda. He sought out and found, I believe, people that could be put into senior positions that were willing to support that agenda. Either they were aligned with him ideologically, which I don't think is the case most of the time, or they were so focused on careerism that they have been unwilling to stand up and be counted. And I get disgusted with those who serve in the administration and then leave it and say, well, I never agreed with the administration. And that just starts with the secretaries of defense like Leon Panetta and Bob Gates, you know, and but we have leaders now that if they really object to what's going on, they should stand up and say so, and they should put their stars on the table, and they should be prepared to resign as a result of not being able to support the direction that the president is taking our military.
Do you believe that the changes, as you would see it, in a negative direction have gone beyond the point of repair, or is everything reparable given the right leadership?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of people have asked me that. Look, it's going to take, I mean, it's at least a decade for us to be able to turn this around. And that's assuming we get a good commander-in-chief in that's got some leadership and that wants to change it. But there are some things that they're not going to change. You're not going to roll back some of the social policies that have been implemented during this president. So it's going to take a long time. One of the things that I fear most is when you look at the young officers in the military today who should be looking up to proven combat leaders who have a proven record of leading men and women in combat. Instead of looking at them, what they're looking at is they're looking at careerists. They're looking at people who have compromised on very important and fundamental issues. And all these young leaders see that and know that. So what are we raising? Are we raising a generation of young leaders who ultimately will be great combat leaders, great warriors? Or are we raising a generation now that is going to be focused on careerism? And I am afraid and very concerned that it will be the latter.
Sobering on all fronts, General. I hate to leave it on such a down note, but I thank you very much for your honest assessment on these critical issues.
Well, it's great being with you today, and thanks a lot.
Retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He is now Executive Vice President at the Family Research Council. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.